Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome back to it. And at 4 o'clock today, we've got the match of the day between the Parramatta Eels and the Wests Tigers. Tomorrow, we will have the Dragons and the Dogs live from ANZ or Australia Stadium, whatever it's called this week. And joining us for commentary tomorrow will be Woodsy, Aaron Woods, one of the Bulldogs' finest ever players, joins us on the commentary team tomorrow.
Don't put the slipper in when he's not here to defend himself.
Why do you do that for? Are you that insecure about your job? Are you that insecure about your job?
I'm a weak,
you give it to Benji, you give it to Wendell.
Yeah.
You give it when they're not MP, but just not themselves. On the mic, mate. You give it to MP, just not on the mic.
I'm a weak little guy, mate. I've just got all these little insecurities. And I sit at home and just badmouth everyone, even my wife says I can't take it anymore. You know, it can't be everyone.
You badmouth her when you come in here.
Oh, absolutely. She's the worst, mate. She's got the biggest first world problems of any human being I've ever met in my life.
She's probably saying the same about you, just quietly.
She wants to get the floor done.
She deserves a medal if she's put up with you for 40 years.
She is getting something done to the floor. I am not joking. She has sent this poor man in and out with this piece of wood for the floor. Oh, it's too light. It's too dark. It's too pink. It's too pink. What? It's a piece of wood. Anyway, so, she's not listening. She's at home watching.
You hope. Huh?
No, she's watching the Portuguese show on the Aurora channel.
The only reason you said what you just said was because you know she's not listening.
Oh, no, what? She's not listening, yeah. Mm. Her and her mother watch the Portuguese variety hour on the Aurora channel. It's like a community channel.
So yeah.
That's what's happening right now. And so they're not listening.
And what sort of stuff do they show on that?
Oh, they have some cooking segments, and then they might have a bit of singing, a bit of Portuguese singing.
Yeah, and sort of what do they cook? So what's their
famous
dish over there?
Tarts, a lot of tarts.
Yeah.
A lot of cakes and tarts, Portuguese chicken. There's a guy on the show named Rodriguez, and he's really sexy. Oh, they all love him. They all love him. He's a real piece.
I'm guessing he's not really interested in the Portuguese tarts, to be honest.
They want to tear a slice off and take it home.
Mate,
when they
come
see
on.
Rodriguez. Anyway.
You do realise we're on air, don't you?
Anyway, we're back from the break.
All right. Anyway. Origin 1.
Did you say oranges?
Origin 1, what a game. 50 points to 6. New South Wales over Queensland. And firstly, once again, to everybody involved up there in Townsville, what a wonderful couple of days it was. A wonderful atmosphere and just a fantastic game if you're a New South Wales fan, I guess. But you just can't go past the atmosphere. Where do we start with this, Hoops? If you're Queensland, are you making changes?
Oh, well, clearly Josh Papali'i made a great comeback for the Canberra Raiders last night. He's an Origin player every day of the week, so there's no doubt they'd be looking to accommodate him into the side. I read a report today, Gordon, where they're even looking at young Reece Walsh, who I think's only played 6 NRL games this season, 18 years of age. Clearly a superstar in the making, and he's done some really special things, but
yeah, I think that would depend on Kalyn Ponga's availability. Could you think that he'd slot back into the one and maybe Brimson at 14 or even Ben Hunt? We just saw the way the middle was worked by New South Wales, so they'd plan to do something like that again, and we just had no ball. But Reece Walsh would come into contention maybe if Ponga doesn't play.
I reckon it's too big a thing for him, Reece Walsh. Yeah, I know he's got talent, but to ask him to come in after 6 NRL games and play against this New South Wales team?
And coming off a record
it would
loss.
Be as big a story as when they plucked Alfie out of Ipswich, wouldn't it, in terms of State of Origin?
Yeah, well, that was a big story. But Alfie was a seasoned first grader there. He was still young, but he'd been playing under Tommy at Ipswich, and he played in they had a city country type game up there. Mm-hmm. Of it might have been residents and non-residents or something like that.
It was the first time they ever played the Queensland Country versus Queensland.
Yeah, sort of. And Laurie Spina was the Roosters Sydney Eastern Suburbs halfback at the time. He went up and played okay. And when they picked the team, Wayne Bennett wanted Laurie Spina as the halfback for Queensland because they were obviously skinny on halves at the time. I think Mark Murray had just retired. So they're skinny on halves, and there was a bit of a push for Alfie, and Tommy Radonigas was the guy that came out and said, mate, don't worry about how small he is, he'll handle it. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was pretty prophetic what he said, and in the end, the against Bennett's wishes, the Queensland selectors chose Alfie to do the job and obviously went out and absolutely brained him from that moment on. Really, really strong first game. But he was going into a team of veterans. He had Wally Lewis, he was passing the ball to.
Gene Miles and Mel Meninga, where he's.
Exactly. It's a much different side than what Reece Walsh would be going into. Reece Walsh is going into a side that Queensland, it's remarkable how quickly the talent has dropped off in Queensland, who only 3 years ago we used to sit there and think, well, they could pick two Origin teams that are stronger than New South Wales on paper. It was just the way it was, but they've lost.
Oh, no, they're still equal except for Tom and Luttrell.
I wouldn't say that. I think Gordy, I think Queensland were quite skinny. You know, I think you look at the depth of teams by looking at the bench, and the New South Wales bench was significantly stronger than the Queensland bench.
Yeah, well, there's Lindsay Collins, Papali'i didn't play.
That's unfortunate.
Up front, we're really skinny, and Christian Welsh got the HIA about 20 or something.
13 minutes.
And that really cruel Queensland. And from that moment on, it was all bets were off.
Yeah.
Well, boys, what about New South Wales? We'll come back to Queensland, but given Angus Crichton's back, but surely...
They won't change it.
Nah.
No. They just
Angus will go into the setup. Like he'll definitely be a part of the camp. But
because Cam Murray was good on one edge and Tarek Sims was
surprised everybody. He was one of their best forwards. Yeah. So I'd be so stunned if they wanted to change his side. And Freddie's shown that in previous series when he's been in charge. Is if the team wins, especially when they win well like they did, he'd be very reluctant to make changes unless forced into because of injuries or suspension or whatever.
He's not a hiding to nothing changing the team.
Yeah.
He changes the team and they go out and they for some reason lose. Everyone goes, mate, what were you doing?
Angus Crichton was one of their best players in last year's series. Form left edge back rower of the comp.
Mate, I get that.
And would have been in the side had he not been suspended.
I get all that. I get all that. But he's just on a hide into nothing to change the team.
Yep.
And there's no reason to change the team given Tarek Sims came into the side and was pretty...
aimed up.
He was pretty good. He surprised a lot of people with that. Respectfully, how well he actually did go. He was one of the real destroyers for New South Wales in that early part of the game when the result was still up for grabs. So he was magnificent. So there's no reason to take Tarek Sims out of the side. He'll stay there. There's no reason at all for Freddie to make any changes. Mm.
Changing that side would be like when they changed the recipe for Coca-Cola. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Well, yeah, I don't know why they did that. Do you know why they did that?
I don't know.
You know, they changed the recipe for VB too.
Did they?
Yeah, must be 3 or 4 years ago, and then they changed it back.
That's because they lost the cat, and then they found it again.
There was an outrage. They changed it, right?
Yeah.
And there was outrage from supporters of the beverage.
Right.
And then so they changed it back.
I never knew they changed
the original recipe. Yeah, they changed the strength of it and everything.
Right. Yeah. I know they knew they changed the Coca-Cola thing. That never worked, so they changed back.
Mm.
Yeah.
But there you go. That would be the equivalent.
No, they didn't change back. I don't think Coke.
Yeah, they changed back. Yeah, yeah. On Netflix, there's a whole documentary about it.
Oh, there you go.
About how happy Pepsi.
So you shouldn't have said that. You should have just pretended you knew it like you're intelligent.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
You're just quoting from some doco you watched last week.
Well, let's get Hoops. You look at it, Hoops, and we'll have some questions about it in the quiz next week.
That might help you.
Sure.
Boys, in that Origin game, who did you have as your man of the match? Obviously, Hoops, you had the flash stuff. You had Luttrell and Trbojevic as the...
Tom.
You had Tom as your man of the match. This has been amazing how he's come back from injury, had such an outrageous influence on his club side, and then he takes it into Origin.
Is it something like 8 tries in 6 games or something, and they had the GIs and all those guys at the same time? And I think Rowdy Shearer was a try scorer, Darius Boyd, and no one's near Tommy.
Yeah, there was a bee's appendage between he and Latrell Wednesday night. Like, they were both just in sensational touch. And you could really see they didn't feature. They were both injured for last year's series, so didn't play. And Nathan Cleary was the other one as well, yeah. Gordon, who was only
the best three players on the field.
The form players of the competition stood up in State of Origin. Tommy Turbo and Nathan have been, after Tom's return from his initial injury for the opening 5 weeks, they've been the best two players in terms of the competition, and they carried that into the State of Origin arena.
And I'll tell you what, for long-suffering New South Wales fans, it was nice to actually see the New South Wales team go out and perform as...
Well, better than expected.
Yeah,
well, I don't think anybody saw 50. Yeah,
I'm not talking about the score, but I'm just talking about the fact that the form players for New South Wales went out...
And delivered.
And delivered yep. on that stage, because for years it was just... It was like a bit of a lottery pick in New South Wales teams. It was one thing to try and get the right side. And then beyond that, you then had the hope that come the night, they were going to aim up okay. And it didn't always happen. And it was some tough periods there, Gordon, I tell you. Not for you.
No, well, it's just, look, it's the changing of the guards. You know, the Queensland had all those greats and they're not there anymore. And our young kids are learning. And last year, the series, it was different for everybody. It was at the end of the year. It was after COVID and, the worst ever side in 40 years. I don't think that was probably a throwaway line.
But Bulldog said that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Bulldog Richie was the one that said it on another radio station that rates an asterisk.
Right.
respectfully. It was Bulldog just threw it away T-Rex. At the line. But what I love...
A little T-Rex, mate. Yeah. Do you know one thing about Bulldog? Mate, I'll tell a story, right? Little T-Rex had a bet with me one day, right?
Yeah.
And he still hasn't paid up. It's been about 8 years.
What was the bet?
I was like six schooners or something like that.
Right.
You know how to claim you've got to have a bet with him.
Hey?
You actually got to sit down and have a beer with him. He's not going to put six on the bar and then leave the bar.
No, no. Well, see, well, I'd rather, you know...
He's a midi man anyway, Bulldog.
Those little claws couldn't hold a schooner.
His hands aren't big enough to get all the way around a schooner glass. That's why he drinks midis.
He's a great bloke. He
drinks midis.
Mate, he's a champion, dog.
Yeah. But yeah, he was the one that said it. But what I liked the fact was, like, I love this when you say, when you say something that can't add to anything. So a journo will come out and say something and the coach will go, who said that? Oh, he's just a journo. We don't care what they say. But the minute he can use it as motivation.
Yeah.
Grab onto it like gold.
Grab onto it. Just
Wayne had it up in the dressing rooms for the entire series.
The worst Queensland team ever. Well, it was never the worst Queensland team ever. It wasn't a strong Queensland team, but the 95 team, respectfully, was much worse. And to their credit, won the series. But though, if you go through on paper and how many games they'd actually played, there was not a lot of rep experience in that team, not a lot of NRL experience in that team.
Any team with Cameron Munster, Harry Grant, Daly Cherry Evans, like, you've got a fair bit of strike power there.
The only thing that is true is you can't pick, and I think it's so evident now with the preparation and how the young guys really need to prepare for games. Those were the days where you could pick an old guy and he'd be right, whether he's out of form or in form. You know, you go throw him in and he would perform on a night for both states. That's gone. And to have Harry Grant with, I think, his foot or hamstring, AJ Brimson with, you know, bone bruising, and I think Ponga, and then Reed Martin. Like,
you can do it with one player, but when you're starting to carry a core part of your group,
it's so hard.
Who are all nursing injuries, can't train. That's when you really got to say, well, hang on, no, you can't get through with anymore, can you?
And those guys, and people say, well, how do we turn it around? I've been asked that question, how do we go in game two? Well, you got to play really good in the next 2 weeks. And Daly Cherry Evans went out on Friday night and showed that he turned it around, and he was the leader, and he would hold all the responsibility to that performance because he's the captain. He went out and seven, you know, line breaks or, you know, tackle busts and played really good, and it was Manly's, you know, best night in a long time without Tommy.
Yes.
That's the way the rest of the Queensland squad has to play.
All right, Gordy, thank you very much. And, of course, Origin 2 will be live on the Triple M network once again. Warriors Storm are 2-all, 19.5 gone on the Tyre Power scoreboard. We're going to take a break, come back. The boys have got a special edition of I Call BS as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. Melbourne 6, Warriors 2 on the Central Coast. Melbourne just trying to add the extras to a try.
Nico Hines, bang, straight over the black dot, Anthony.
Beautiful.
Turned out 8-2.
8-2.
For the Melbourne Storm. Harry Grant just went on the field.
Yep.
And the minute that he went on, bang, he saw a little bit of space, darted out a dummy half, inside-out ball, and then Remus Smith was away making a break and the Storm were over.
You were going to win a radio award with descriptive commentary like that. Mm. You are our little unsung hero.
What are they called? Golden Globes or something?
No, they're called the ACRAs.
What does that stand for? What does an ACRA stand for?
I've got no idea.
Australian Commercial Radio.
How many have I got? I've got a wall full of them.
I've got a very small wall. 81, 82, 83.
I haven't even unwrapped some of them yet.
From the Maroon and Millie days. Tell everyone you'll tell us off air. Okay. You love how we bring all this off. Tell everyone what you're saying off air about how you rorted the system, you and Millie.
Yeah, this is a good story. I'll tell you this.
You're quickly on big money.
Well, we were on about 35 grand a year each. Maroon and Millie, the breakfast show in Wollongong in about 1994. And we won the survey. This is a true story. And we went and we said to this buffoon, give us a pay rise. And he said, what do you think? You're the king of the heap now. Yeah, we actually do. Righto, well, okay, he goes, no pay rise. So Millie, blowing up, goes up to the Coromel Hotel and stews on it for about 2 weeks. One day she has four schooners, goes to the phone box. This is before mobile phones. Rings the bloke up from the phone box, bungs on a voice saying she's a reporter from some industry magazine and we got offered a job to go elsewhere. An hour later, he calls us into the office, gives us like doubles our pay and gives us, I'm not joking, a company car each.
What'd you get? What sort of car?
A Ford Laser.
Oh, mate, that's when you know you've hit the big time.
So that's what I would do if I was someone that, if you're going for a pay rise, get someone to bung on a voice, ring up your workplace, do something along those lines.
We had a bloke, didn't we, who we used to work with one day, did that. He came in and he said to the boss, he said, listen, I've just, because that's the only way you get a pay rise in media, as you know, Anthony, is to get a rival offer. So he went in, he said to the boss, and I won't name him, but he came in, he said, I've had an offer from, he worked at the Telegraph, he said, I've had an offer from the Herald to go over there and have an interview for a job. And the boss said, well, I'll give you the cab charge.
And who was it?
He's not there anymore.
Triple M's done that to you a couple of times, haven't they, Anthony?
But that boss literally said, I'll give you...
So no, listen...
Phil Rothfield was the boss. Phil Rothfield was the one that said, I'll give you the cab charge.
Yeah, good on him. Well, I have...
Call his bluff.
Yeah, okay. Well, we might leave that there and go to this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Okay, boys, you call BS. Everybody knows the rules. It doesn't have to be rugby league related. It can be something that's going on in your life. Who would like to call BS first? Would you, Paul?
Yeah, I'll call BS. I'll call BS on all the shades of grey that I work with. Who sit there and just 1 week they want to argue, oh, it shouldn't be a send-off, and then 2 weeks later they want to argue something else. Yep. They want to argue the opposite. They argue one day that they want the rules there in black and white. The next week they think there
should... Where's the consistency?
That they are, the next week they're saying there should be discretion. Yeah. You can't have discretion and black and white interpretations. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. And we saw that the other night with the State of Origin game. I thought Queensland were poorly dealt with when the bomb went up. Queensland dropped the bomb. Latrell Mitchell grabs it. And they go back and they look at the video replay. And there's no doubt Payne Haas was offside and inside the 10. So what happens out of that? What happens out of that is the bunker goes, oh, he's not in his line of sight, therefore no interference, therefore it's a try. The rule says he's not allowed to be in the 10 metres. That's the rule.
And that rule came up, Paul, because that was going to be mine, is for when you're standing there and you can't get out of the way. Like, you can't get it. Like,
yeah, he chased.
He run 30 metres.
He chased.
He's 9 foot tall. You're going up to catch it. You hear his size 15 coming at you. He is in the play.
Yeah,
let me tell you, if you're a fullback...
He is in the play because there's this thing too, which clearly the bunker, and they've displayed this numerous times, there's a thing called peripheral vision.
You don't necessarily have to be looking directly at something to actually also have it in your field of vision and know it's there. Mm. And Payne Haas, let me say this to the bunker, he's hard to miss in your peripheral vision. He's hard to miss. So, you know what? Like, why the bunker sat there and said, oh, look, no, he didn't interfere with the play. It was an absolute joke.
Mate, you know? He's like the Camaro and coming up next to you on the open road, Payne Haas.
100%. You're hearing it from half the paper. The fact is, look, the only reason it's not a bigger issue, and I think Queensland were dudded several times throughout the game with the refereeing decision. The only reason it's not a bigger issue is because it's like, yeah, it was a 50-6 scoreline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apparently in Queensland, they all wake up at 5:10 now, a.m. in the morning, morning. Yeah. Well, they call it in Queensland, it's 50-6.
Oh, that's funny.
For the first hour and a half, he's just trying to dull the pain by this medicine of, oh, we were so good in Townsville. Well, but you know what, Gordon? You know what the fact is? It doesn't matter where it was played. It was still 50-6.
Yeah.
And the record book's still going to say 50-6.
Yeah. That's good.
It was a record New South Wales margin.
No.
I want to call BS on this whole soft soap about, you know, Gordy saying how good Townsville. I'm just trying to distract everybody from the scoreline.
I had the time of my life. So take out the scoreline.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty big thing to take out, though. because you take out the 12 or 13 series that Queensland won.
See, Paul, you don't
right,
like
and
it,
New
right.
South Wales are actually in front then.
I tell you what, I'm going to call BS on. I'm going to call BS on that. If that happened to your state, mate, you'd all be out and everybody would be getting sacked.
Oh, okay, right.
Everybody would be getting sacked.
Yeah,
even
right.
The coach, the players are no good. You know, Penrith, it's a false commodity and all this kind of stuff. Do you know the fact is, we're Queenslanders. We'll turn it around. The last time we got beaten 56-16, we won the next game about 30-6.
Mm.
So, mate, we'll dig it in. And we were embarrassed on Wednesday night, and it was a poor performance. It's probably, well, history shows it's the worst performance of our state.
Benny Elias said the other night, he said, New South Wales will win 30-plus. Who would have thought that Benny Elias was a man of moderation?
No, Benny just says stupid things.
And
he's finally got it right after 30 years.
He was more right than anybody else.
Yeah, mate, the first time in 30 years, B's got it right.
Would you like to call BS, Gordy?
I just did.
What about you, Hoops?
Thanks for listening.
You're his painted on. Anthony, I will call BS. I'll call BS on players diving, staging, whatever you want to call it.
Don't talk about Josh Adokar.
To milk penalties because, you know, rugby league is the toughest sport, one of the toughest sports on the planet. And one of the reasons why it's always been as celebrated and as respected as what it is because of that, is because of the gladiatorial nature of the contest. And the fact that we're now allowing players to try and milk penalties by feigning BS injuries is completely wrong.
And they said that last night in the game, Hoops.
Right?
They actually said last night because he stayed down.
Yeah.
It was with the Tino Fasua Malawi incident where he stayed down and held his neck, which was just completely fake. There was hardly any force of that nature.
Yeah. And there's a real easy way. There's a real easy fix, right? If blokes are going to do it, and then you're going to, like Dane Laurie the other week at Leichhardt Oval, where he laid down, and then the minute that he gets the penalty, he's jumping up and he's winking at Matt Burton. And right, mate, don't worry about
that. Car got hit. The ball was in row one in the origin. Mate, the ball was in row one. And then I get it. He's never going to get to that ball. And I know he's denied the opportunity.
Yeah.
He was never going to get to it. Players are doing it to themselves. So what goes with them is going to go against them. And the Roosters, it's a bit rich because their trainer runs on every time and spends 3 hours looking at the player and standing up. Mate, I watch him every week and he stands there for 3 minutes to slow the play down. So Rob A saying that someone lies down. His trainer is the one in the grand final that run into the Raiders ball. You know, the one that's standing around in the background getting the ball passed into his head?
Yes.
Right? So I reckon the Roosters are a little bit rich caught.
Yeah, I think the NRL.
Those trainers are the ones that are in trouble.
But the NRL has to be very careful about players playing wolf, right? Because the drama.
Agree.
Because if you say, well, if you stay down, then pop up, then they'll charge the player. The player will just stay down longer. And then we'll get the argument, and this is, again, back to my point about us changing the goalposts. Then we'll get the argument, the NRL or the referees going, you know what, we're not doctors. We can't make the decision. But I just think there's the simple way to fix it is if a player stays down from a high tackle and there's some sort of indication that it might have been high, which draws attention to the tackle, which then says the referee says, right, you're on report, you're in the sin bin. The player has to go off for a mandatory HIA that's going to take the 10 or 15 minutes for it to happen. So the player either bounces up and the referee sees it,
yep,
or if the player doesn't bounce up and stays down to cop the penalty, then he's got to go off and do the HIA.
Further to that, I wouldn't even mind if they went down the road of, let's use Tino as an example. Clearly, right, he's playing for the penalty there, and it was BS, he wasn't injured whatsoever. So why can't the match review committee hit him with some sort of sanction, and he has to do a week for it? Because the minute that you start serving games for it,
but that's,
all of a sudden players will stop.
No, but what I'm saying, though, is there'll be... What's that?
Just wait till someone does it next week and let's put it...
Yeah, but what'll happen with Hoops there is the NRL and say, well, we're not doctors. We couldn't tell you whether he's really hurt or whether he's faking hurt.
Yep.
That's the issue with that. But if the player has to,
well, they got to do something.
But if we just let it manifest
and go on,
yeah. But what you do is send them off immediately for an HIA. So that way the player, there's an immediate repercussion.
He's out of the game for
15 minutes if he's faking it or if he's genuinely hurt.
Yep,
that's the only reason he goes off. He's either faking or he's genuinely hurt.
But then they get a free interchange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get a free interchange.
Yeah, but Gordon, that might be the case.
And then it'll be unlimited interchange.
That might be the case. It won't be unlimited interchange.
Anthony, on another note.
Because not every position wants to go off. The middle forwards will do it.
It, mate, the most simple outcome is take the ball off them like they used to do
20
years ago. Move it over a couple of metres.
I love it, Gordon.
Boom.
You finally contribute. Let's put that, it's 2:37, 2:38. Good to welcome you to the show, Gordon. So.
Anthony, on another note, your campaign with the party pies and the sausage rolls out here.
Thank you, Anthony.
Brilliant people from Bankwest Stadium has reaped dividends. They've come in with a couple of trays of piping hot.
So, mate, you walked into the Peter Sterling suite down there and just took them, and I love what you do for us.
We have had
You're such a team man.
We've had so much drama with these people at Parramatta with these pies. Please come and remove these pies. Remove them. We do not want your pies.
You've been whinging for 3 hours. You haven't had a pie. And then the minute they get here, you want them gone.
I will make sure that these gentlemen, my colleagues, get pies, which I will personally supply. I will pay for. We will supply our own pies. Please send somebody directly to box number 10 and remove these pies. I will, if they are not gone in 3 minutes, I will leave. As Triple M rocks the footy.
Please get here in 4.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Bankwest Stadium out here, the Sunday Sin Bin, where Anthony Maroon has just been frog marched out by security. Gordon Tallis has gone to try and save him because he was blowing up like a cheap alarm clock about the pies and the sausage rolls, Paul, that the good people at Bankwest Stadium have provided us. He said if they didn't come and take them away, he would walk. And then when they came in to remove them, there's been a bit of a brouhaha, a bit of a fracas, and now Maroon has been frog marched out of the stadium.
Well, we're all better for it, I think, Hoop. The pies are gone and Maroon's gone. I think that's what you like to call in the industry, win-win.
Too good. Hang on a minute. No, he's back. Here he comes now. Gordon saved him. He's been welcomed back into the building. Anthony, what's happened?
Oh, it's all they've apologised. It's all okay.
They've apologised. Yeah, they've apologised. You came in sniffling.
Well, it could have gone either way, Paul. But I said if you blokes don't want to cop it on NRL 360, I would let me go back into the box.
Yeah, apparently, you were gone until Gordon arrived on the scene, and then he's managed to save you.
And I did look to the lovely Tamara there at Parramatta. I didn't realise you made those at home and brought them in. They are spectacular pies. Let's just have a stalemate about the pies. When we come back here, we won't even mention pies anymore. If pies turn up, we'll eat them. If they don't, we'll buy our own pies. Right, so you're in charge.
That's all that was required, Anthony. Yeah. From the minute we got here, that was all required. You spent all morning complaining they weren't here.
Yeah.
And about 20 minutes before they arrived, you said, if they're not here, I'm just going to bag them anyway.
Well, you know what the problem is, Paul, is Gordy went into one of the other boxes about 3 weeks ago and stole a tray of pies.
Yes.
So Tamara's blowing up. She's called Josh, who's a big boss here at Parramatta. He's blowing up as well. And
they started pointing the fingers at you.
That's what I was saying. They comes to me, and I didn't do anything. So I said,
rather than just taking one for the team and remaining Storm, you just said, it wasn't me, it was Gordon.
No, that's why I said I don't want the pie in here.
Oh, mate, solid.
Because I was trying to protect you, blokes.
Yeah, solid is a tower of jelly.
You're a tower of jelly, you are. Look at you. You quiver like one, too.
You should have seen him up there.
Why are you unwrapping the sausage rolls and taking the pastry off?
So that's how I like to eat them. I like to unwrap them.
You only like the sausage.
Yeah, they're like a meat lolly. I unwrap the pastry.
Mate, meat lolly. Is that a euphemism? Is that prison, mate?
You love the sausage.
So I unwrap them. I get a sausage roll and I unwrap it and I just eat the middle. That's how I do it. And we've got a runaway try in the
New South Wales Cup.
In
Parramatta that. Leading 28-12. The Magpies are on.
Call it in. Hoops.
You call it in, Anthony. That's your forte.
There he is, over in the corner. And so it's
28-16. Who is it? Who scored?
I've got no idea. How would I know? I'd know if I was commentating.
Mate, he doesn't call president. New South Wales Cup.
No, that's come right. On. Only called.
There's a couple NRL players.
NRL. That's it.
Virgo's out here for Parramatta.
But isn't it good coming to the game before and seeing? And seeing
Zach Sweeney's out there for the Maggies,
Parramatta and West.
Yeah, Jersey. Absolutely.
Because sometimes you come and you know they might be wearing other jerseys, but it's good to see like an old fashioned reserve grade.
There's Joey Leilua or Anthony out there for the Magpies.
Ferguson's out there.
Why couldn't you call them?
Zach Sweeney.
You're above all that, are you?
No, if I knew I was calling, I would have done the preparation, Paul.
You've got a fair opinion of yourself, haven't you?
I would have done the necessary preparation. I didn't know I was going to be put on the spot like that.
As they say in the industry, Anthony, fail to prepare. Prepare to fail.
You know what?
Let's talk about the Bunnies and the Newcastle Knights last night. Were you out there?
I was out doing a charitable function for somebody, but I have seen the game via replay when I got home. But
you weren't out there in the chairman's lounge?
I was out doing doing some charity work, as it turns out.
At the stadium or?
No, at another venue altogether.
It's always charity, isn't it?
Yeah, it was for charity. The St Andrews. Junior Footy Club.
How much folding was involved?
What percentage of the fee goes to charity?
I didn't charge a fee, so in all of it, anyway, that's not your business. And can I ask you, Hoops, and you, Paul Kent, do you what you do for a living? Do you provide your service for free? Does a bricklayer build houses for free? Does a tyre fitter change tyres for free? No. Why should I be required to do my work for free?
No one suggests you.
And made to feel guilty when I don't.
No one suggests you.
No. Called mates rates. We all help each other out. People bring things to me and say, mate, can you run your eye over this? And I've written this out. Can you edit it? So I turn things around and sharpen it up a little bit. I'm happy to do that.
I'm emceeing a golf day in a couple of weeks, Anthony. It's a love job.
That's good
for your mates.
When blokes like you MC it, it's good because people realise they need a professional MC. So you should get out and MC
that's
more.
That's good for your
that
business.
That is true. Every time I've had the MC, I sit down and think, why couldn't they just spring, $45 and get Maroon in? Seriously. Honestly, mate, I get really uncomfortable doing it. I don't know how you do it, to be honest.
Mate, you're very good at it, too.
Yeah, very good. Mate. Yeah,
I saw you, like when I walked in the box the other night, he was interviewing Gus and Cameron Smith and then Wes Morgan.
Wow.
How'd
you keep up with them?
Kevy Walters.
Well, Gus and Cam was good.
Well, they're colleagues of mine, Paul. We're all colleagues in the same industry.
You work together?
Well, we work side by side in a lot of these functions. And, you know, I like to think we all work in the rugby league media industry. So colleagues look after colleagues, I like to think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never happens here, though.
Well, it doesn't happen here, no. It certainly doesn't involve me when it happens, I'll tell you that much.
Gordon just saved you getting exiled out of the stadium.
I was only protecting him. He stole the pies.
That was 3 weeks ago. And, you know, it wasn't stealing because I just borrowed
it. Doesn't matter if it was 3 weeks ago.
I just borrowed them because I thought that they were for media, right? So I walked into the print box, brought them back in here. So are we part of the media
the statute,
coverage?
The the statute of limitations on pie stealing runs out when the pies get cold. Okay? So there's no point worrying or whinging about what happened 3 weeks ago. They're long gone, those pies.
You are on fire today, Paul. You're like, you know, Victor Radley a couple of weeks ago when he just came out. He's like, they're like that today. If you changed something about last night, what did you do last night, Tomcat? What'd you get up to? Did you get up to no good, or were you home in bed nice and early?
No, I went and had a couple of beers at the pub with my mate John.
Right, okay. Which pub?
Sackville.
The old Sacker.
Yeah. Righto. Sacky.
Now, boys, let's get back to what we're paying.
All matters pertinent to rugby league, Anthony. So the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, the Rabbitohs had a win last night over the Newcastle Knights. AJ, Alex Johnson scored another hat-trick, his seventh hat-trick in his career.
Can I ask a question on that? I want to ask Gordy that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound silly, but South Sydney's left edge is so dangerous. Why don't opposition teams stack it, Gordy, by putting an extra defender there? I know it's going to leave you short on the other side, right?
Yeah.
That's the argument everyone brings back at me, right?
Yep.
But they'll leave them short, one man short on the other side. But that particular edge is so dangerous.
Yeah.
And the amount of points to get poured through there, why wouldn't you stack it with just one extra defender? Because they seem to always find space, be able to draw and pass and find space for Alex Johnson. Why not stick an extra defender out there? If the ball does start going to the other side, okay, and the Rabbitohs do start pushing it that way. Well, all you do is you just push across one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
but
well,
it makes
there's a
sense
way where the fullback could jump in at the A defender, like the first one off the ruck, and then the marker comes out, and they make an extra man like that and just all slide out a little bit. But they're so potent, and they got cooked. They just got it down to an art, and they wait until they use it. So why it even looks better is they don't overuse it. You know, some clubs go to it, but when they use it, it's just... It's so fluent.
It's almost unstoppable.
Because the combination is just so classic.
Yeah, I know. But the only way I think you can disrupt that, and this is where I reckon coaches get stuck in this thing, because there'll be coaches who hear this and go, mate, that's just stupid. Like, why would you do that for?
Mm.
But the fact is they score so many points down that side, and specifically down that side. And it's a specific part of their game plan. They are particularly good at it. Why wouldn't you stack it with an extra defender just to corrupt their numbers? They seem to be able to strip you for numbers all the time. When it's 4-on-4 or, you know, whichever, 3-on-3 or 5-on-5, whichever way they go, they find a way to strip you for numbers. Put an extra defender there. And if that means the Rabbitohs haven't got to play right, one thing, they're not playing to their strength any longer, and two, defensively, you just push across from the inside and shut them down that way. I just don't understand why it's like this old mentality of coaches who, one's got a cough, so they've all got the cold. So they all defend the same way. Because that's what they see other teams do. They look at Melbourne. What are Melbourne doing? That's how they're defending. Okay, we'll defend like that as well. What are the Roosters doing? Yeah, okay, we'll defend like that as well. South Sydney stripped them for numbers all the time down the left side. Why just stick another defender in there?
Okay, 18 points to 2 at halftime. Melbourne lead that game 18-2 over the Warriors. That game's on the Central Coast. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and have a little bit of fun with Maroon Confidential Townsville edition. And then we'll say goodbye to Paul Kent, although he's on fire today. He's already got man of the match. And the game's not even over. It's Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back. It's halftime. Melbourne 18, Warriors 2. Those scores are thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. And, of course, get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Looking for an escape or an adventure? You need to get a Sea-Doo. It is time for this.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
Well, I was going to kill this segment off.
It's been going off. It's backed by popular demand.
People are marching the streets.
Like a frog in a sock.
People are marching the streets to keep it. Maroon Confidential Townsville Edition. Special edition.
Peeling the meat.
We've got...
Feel on the meat rack.
There, dinkum.
What you said?
This is in Townsville. Spotted in the corporate area of the NRL corporate area at Origin. Gordon Tallis giving advice on love and relationships to a lady from Mackay, and the sad thing was she was listening and taking it all on board. Now, Gordon, do you remember this woman? And she was calling you Gordo. Remember that lady with the glasses? And she was calling you Gordo.
No. And you're giving relationship advice.
He was.
Advice.
No.
Without
I do remember getting in there because I went there with the Prisity and I was paid. So I actually paid your wage.
Hey, listen, oh, well, I don't know where that's all coming from.
So, yeah, so I was actually there. So
without identifying the woman, what sort of advice did you give her?
I don't remember it.
Oh, it got into all sorts. I just had to say I'm going to walk. It got into all sorts of
areas.
Well, let's just leave it at areas. But, anyway, that's what goes.
Is there anything like the advice you give me?
Yeah, a couple of cases.
Also spotted in Townsville, Reedy, our very own Brent Reed, having coffee with Paul Gallen in the coffee club, telling Gal how much fun it would be if quote unquote Siebes was here. Can you believe it? Reedy. Honestly.
I heard Reedy was getting selfies. A lot of the North Queensland, they're so passionate about rugby league up there, they actually knew who Reedy was. A lot of people were getting selfies with him.
Mm-hmm. I was at this pub and we're just sitting there on one of the days.
Reedy
walked past on the phone, so people recognised him. He did about six walks.
He's doing laps around the pub. He's doing laps.
G'day, Benny.
The window.
G'day, Siebes. G'day, Freddy. I should have rang his phone.
Yeah, would have rang in his ear. We deafened him.
Here he is.
He's Reedy. Reedy, we're just talking about you.
He's just giving it to
me. Anyway, that's good to have you, Reedy.
Can we give him a microphone so he can either...
Let him defend himself.
Reedy,
one of the
Maroon Confidentials today, Townsville Edition, and I don't write these, so...
Solid. Tower of Jelly.
It says, spotted, Reedy... Reedy having coffee with Paul Gallen in the coffee club, telling Gal how much better it would be if, quote unquote, Siebes was here.
No, I wasn't at the coffee club.
The rest of us are.
Well, I did say to him at one point that 360's gone backwards since I got shafted.
Right.
But I never mentioned Siebes.
Because the other thing that was said, Gordon, can you just repeat what you said?
Yeah, and then I was sitting in one of the pubs close and I saw Reedy walking back and forth. I said, hey, Reedy. I ended up having to go out because he was walking back. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just waiting to do a couple of interviews.
Well, that's not true, Gordy, because I spotted you and came and saw you.
No, it's true.
You had a few beers by then, Gordy, so your memory might be a bit clouded.
Listen, no, it was lunchtime.
He said you were doing laps around the pub because people were recognising you, so you kept doing laps.
Well, that could have been true. I made a few selfies.
The selfies.
Yeah, the selfies are true.
How many selfies did you get?
Oh, just a couple, you know. Gordy, I think Gordy wanted one with me at one point.
You must have been drunk.
It was lunchtime.
It was lunchtime, yeah.
Oh, please. Long lunchtime.
Right, yeah. All right. It was Wednesday lunchtime. We went out Tuesday.
Maroon Confidential.
As I said, I saw Maroon walking past the
pub. And you brushed me.
With the tightest T-shirt on I've ever seen.
He'd had it in the dryer at the hotel. Don't worry.
There were people inside the restaurant laughing.
That's just cruel.
That's unnecessary.
That is, mate, isn't it? He's just gone, personal attack.
I think I heard someone say, look at this buffoon.
You're going to be making regular appearances on Maroon Confidential now, Reed. And finally, spotted at the Richmond Club, which is a club in Richmond, we have found out. At the Richmond Club, Spud, our very own Triple M ambassador, Mark Spud Carroll, with a band called True Sports. An all-star lineup of sporting people, I believe. Kenty, you know who a few of them are.
Yeah, Gav Robinson, the former cricketer, plays the drums, I believe. Buzz McNamara, Brad McNamara, who also play a lot of first-class cricket for New South Wales, plays lead guitar. Richard Cheekwe is the lead singer. And Spud is a jack-of-all-trades, plays rhythm guitar, and likes to get on the microphone when he can. And, just... I don't know what else Spud does. He told me this morning he's going to get a new amp.
Right.
He plugged it in. He borrowed someone's amp last night, so he's going to go and get one of his own. He bought himself a new guitar the other day. They do corporate events, Anthony.
Is that right?
They do. So you might run into them at some point.
Hello. Okay. Hang on a minute.
So they do these corporate events where, sorry, Gordy, they do these corporate events where they go and they turn up, play a few songs, then tell a few stories and get back and play a few songs, put on a bit of a show for everyone.
I wonder how I can...
What's a guitar worth, Paul, because you're a guitarist?
Well, you can pay anything for it. You can pay a couple hundred bucks up to 10,000.
Thousands, yeah.
Well, you thinking of getting one?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, mate. No, I can't play the car
horn. Why don't you play the triangle?
I couldn't play the car horn. I've got no musical. Mate, the music instrument I play is the radio.
Righto. Yeah. Okay. You play the organ a little bit, don't you, Gordy, when you're home? Listen, no, I mean...
If you've seen me...
Mate, there's kids listening.
No, I didn't mean that.
If you see me on my guitar, Gordy, all you need is enthusiasm. This is how I play guitar. I put on whatever song I want to play, right? I put it through the speakers, and I turn it up loud enough that I can't hear the guitar any longer. And then it sounds like I'm just playing what they're playing. Seriously, you can entertain yourself for hours doing that.
Well,
doesn't make the neighbours very happy.
We'll get you to bring your guitar in next week. But right now, Paul, it's time for you to go because it's happy hour. So we'll catch you on NRL 360.
You will, yeah, and Reedy particularly when he'll be on 360 this week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If not in person, then certainly in spirit.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's got over it quick, though.
Yeah, hasn't he? He's still winded. Hey, seriously, if you had a choice between Reed or Hadley, you'd be mad to take Reed, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean,
he reckons it's gone backwards, but the ratings have gone forwards. So
you're all giving it to him because he's walked out again.
Oh, is he not here?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not here.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, Paul, we'll catch you on 360. We'll take a break and come back with Brent Reed as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The footy, the Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream, steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.